We're coming to the subject of the environment, and I've actually got my colleagues from the Aberdeen City Council Ranger Service sitting at the moment speaking to Ranger Duncan. Hello, Duncan.
Hi there, how are we doing?
Good, right. Now, you're really our, shall we say, maintenance ranger. How would you describe yourself?
Yeah, something along those lines. I would say I think we're all fairly sort of rounded, as it were. But yeah, I definitely have more of a slant towards sort of site maintenance, volunteering work and things like that. I'd say so, yeah.
Well, since you've been here, you've actually been involved with, well, keeping going a volunteer ranger force. And this is something that your predecessor, Stephen Bly, certainly got going. So what sort of things have the volunteer ranger team been getting up to in the last year or so?
Yeah, well, it's actually been really, really wonderful. I mean, the last year has been pretty wild, to be honest. We've had an awful lot. When I started the job, about a year ago, pretty much bang on a year, last January, there was a fair list of things needing done all across the city and all across our sites. So in the last year, we've really been rattling through them. We were actually talking about this with the team the other day. When I started with them, sort of February, March, April time, we'd be doing dotting between sites, doing little half hours here, little half hours there, sort of just tidying up and going on with jobs that had been sitting waiting to be done for quite a while. So it's actually been a really, really wonderful tool, that sort of thing, having them about. And then, yeah, from sort of mid to late summer, it's actually been really good. We've had a lot more scope. Once we got those little sort of niggly jobs out of the way, a lot more scope to get on with bigger projects. We've been doing bits and bobs of path repairs up on Tallis Hill, Carney Woods out in West Hill, which is fairly involved, really, so it takes quite a time and a bit of commitment to get it right. So we've done a fair bit of that. We've, through the winter, now that we're definitely out of the nesting season, we've done a vast amount of cutting and burning of gorse. We did have about a month off for Christmas holidays, which were very pleasant. I think everyone enjoyed that and got away from some of the high winds and everything else that we had. And then since then, we've been back into more gorse burning. So yeah, the last year, I'm really proud of them. I mean, we've got a couple who have done several hundred hours. I mean, they've all been committed pretty much through the whole year to giving a couple of days a week. So yeah, they're a really good team. And they've, as I say, got rid of a lot of little niggly jobs that were needing done and had just been left for a wee while because there wasn't the manpower, the workforce available. And we've got through a lot of that. Now we've got a lot more scope for project work.
Yeah. What sort of niggly jobs were they?
Oh, niggly jobs. There was quite a lot of timber work, sort of site furniture, you'd probably call it. So boardwalks, benches, handrails, things like that that had been broken. There was a lot of sort of overgrown paths and things, which will always happen in this sort of setting. I mean, we're quite lucky in the northeast. We're wet enough and warm enough that everything loves to grow. So we've actually got quite a good growing season around here. So yeah, everything needs cut back quite regularly. So that was a big part of the start of the year, definitely. And just going and tidying up. There was a fair bit of litter picking, fixing benches, handrails, a lot of boardwalk. They got very good at boardwalk quite quickly. It was an education for us all, I think. The coastal boardwalks at Donmouth, where the wood just swelled, and taking apart the old stuff was challenging.
Yeah, like a steep upward learning curve.
Yes, yeah, definitely. It was for all of us. I mean, this is my first urban rangering post. So getting used to that took a lot for me as well. But having the volunteers who had been there for a while was definitely helpful. And there was a lot of new jobs for them as well, which I think they quite appreciated, because we've got a couple of the volunteers who have been out with us for several years. And yeah, new skills for them was great. So we had them on the streamers for the first time this year. I was amazed at the start of this year that like a few of them had never seen a set of fencing pliers before. So we got onto that and a few other jobs. So yeah, it's quite varied, and it's been quite a learning curve.
Where do you see your work going in the future? Because I gather there may well be, I'm not saying there definitely are, but there may well be more areas to look after. Currently, the Ranger Service is about 29 or so sites. It may be that some of them will get put to one side and some others will be coming on stream. So what have you got in prospect for this year?
Well, this is the sort of site review is quite interesting because we've got quite a few sites that come under sort of new woodlands sites. So there's areas like Shed Ixley, there's a couple over near Bridge of Dawn that were planted between, 2006 and 2012, something along those lines, down at Seaton as well. So technically they're not our sites at the moment, although we do maintain them. So they're coming on and will hopefully sort of have a lot more of our input over the next few years. So there's a lot of that going on. Through the summer, we'll probably be doing quite a lot of work through there. Probably removing a lot of the fencing. Some of it has been up since the sort of mid-2000s. So 2006, 2007, 2008 probably. And it is getting a wee bit tatty, but the trees in some of these sites are absolutely spectacular now. I mean, you'll have seen them there. They've gone into the ground at about whip size, 30, 40 centimetre saplings, and they're now, on some of the better sites, well above my head. So that sort of rabbit-proof fencing is now pretty redundant, so rather than try and repair it, we'll take a lot of that out. Bits of woodland maintenance around those sites as well. Through the summer, I want to do a bit more site furniture stuff as well. Elric Hill's benches are desperately needing done, so we'll get onto that and a few other bits and bobs, and then go through the cycle of just clearing back vegetation that's growing over paths, and then winter will come and we'll get rid of some more gorse.
Yeah, one big cycle, but you're doing a lot of good work. How can people actually get on to this volunteer ranger team, and what's expected of them?
Yeah, well, at the moment, it's we don't have a great deal of turnover, as I sort of mentioned earlier, so we do have quite a few people who have been out for a number of years. The best thing to do, if you are interested, is get in touch with the Ranger Service. We've got the, probably by email is best, just to country@aberdeencity.gov.uk. That's probably the best, the office phone number, which is 01224326429. I almost gave you my home number there. That wouldn't have been good. Would have gotten in a bit of trouble for that. So yeah, 01224326429. That phone's not always manned, but if you do leave a message, we do try and get back to you as soon as we can, if we have been out in the field. But yeah, if you are interested in getting involved, do that. We do have a bit of a waiting list at the moment. Quite a few people have come through for very limited spaces. But yeah, do get in touch. We'll sort of stick you down in the list. The commitment is really quite intensive, to be honest. It's really suited to folk who are wanting to develop skills in sort of environmental countryside sector for a future career. Or we've got sort of we've had a few retirees out, people sort of long term out of work, stay at home mums, that sort of thing, who have got the time to give up a couple days a week. So we do a Tuesday and a Thursday, and it really is pretty much a full business day, as it were. So we're out from sort of back of nine to potentially sort of four or five through the summer. It has been later a few times as well, as long as people are happy to commit to that. So it is quite a commitment, but yeah, as I say, and as you know, volunteering is a major part for a lot of people who are trying to get careers and experience in countryside sector. So this sort of intense thing might well suit people who are looking for ranger, warden, ecology style work. Do just get in touch.
Excellent. What sort of equipment do people need to bring along, and what sort of equipment does the Ranger Service provide?
Oh, we provide absolutely everything, apart from footwear and clothing and your packed lunch. So other than that, yeah, all sort of volunteers need to bring is themselves, suitable warm clothing, sturdy footwear, and something to eat and drink through the day. That's about it. We try and do cups of tea and a wee snack through the day as well. But as my team will sometimes tell you, we do leave the tea breaks a bit late sometimes, and there have been complaints.
But you try and make up for that with a few sticky toffee donuts or some such.
Yeah, yeah. There's normally a few cakes floating about. It's probably not the programme for people looking to lose weight after Christmas or anything like that. There's plenty of sweeties and things to keep us going through the day normally.
Yeah. Well, for the moment, Duncan, can I thank you very much? Perhaps you'd like to remind people of the email and indeed the contact number, just to finish off.
Yeah, the email address to get in touch with us is countrysideranger@aberdeencity.gov.uk. And the phone number is 01224 326429. And if you would like any updates on what the Ranger Service is doing, if you get onto our Facebook, which is Aberdeen City Council Countryside Ranger Service, we do keep sort of that very well updated with photos and news and information. And there's also a link on there to sign up for our shiny new mailing list. So you can keep informed through that.
Indeed, set up by Ranger Jen, who's actually here in the studio. Thanks very much for that, Duncan. Hopefully have you back on again sometime. I'm very pleased to welcome my colleagues, Jen Hickling and Simon Whitworth, into the studio here at Gospel for Grampian. And we just have a wee word about what is going on in the Ranger Service, what's going on in the environment about Aberdeen. So, Jen, what has been going on with the Ranger Service? Because I know that you've only been here for a year, but what's been the best thing that you've done this year?
Oh, that's a good question. The best thing has been, I think, just watching the seasons go by and working out the different things that the Rangers do throughout the year. I've enjoyed working with the volunteer group. I've been taking them out quite a lot, doing practical maintenance work around our sites, and just seeing all the different sites that the Rangers work in across Aberdeen. They're all so varied and very nice.
Now, Simon, you've been here for a good few years, but over the years, what's been the best thing that you have done?
I think as well it's a bit similar to what Jen was saying, working with the volunteers, because without the volunteer groups, we'd get so much less conservation work done. As you know, cutting back the invasive plants, then burning them because we have to, but also the constructive things that we do as well, like planting trees, repairing boardwalks, that sort of thing. That's probably the best bit, as well as all the brilliant plants and animals that we see.
Now, I know that we have in prospect a huge wad of activities and events that are coming up for this year. And a little bit later, Jen, I'm going to ask you to go through some of that and just tell us what's at least coming up this month, and give us a little indication of what's coming up into March as well. But coming up in March and April and May time, we are going to be very busy as Rangers, and particularly since 2005, because there's been such a lot of malicious fires up on Kinkorth and Tullis. And so going into schools and telling them why they shouldn't be lighting fires. Simon, do you think we've actually got the balance right as the Ranger Service, or do you think there's a better way to do things?
I think it's working, because I've been in this job for 11 years now, and we started doing the fire walks and talks probably about 8 years ago, when there was about 130-something fires on Kinkorth Hill and Tullis Hill, known as the Gramps, of course. But then, since we started doing those fire walks and talks with the fire service and the police, every year it's more or less halved the number of willful fire incidents on both those two hills. So it seems to be working. It'll be great one day if there were zero fires called in, but maybe that'll happen. But at the moment, there's less than, I think, 30 every year from both those hills, so it's getting to good levels now.
Yes, and what do you think about the amount of litter that's being left on the hills? Do you think that could be contributing in a large part to the
ferociousness of the fires that are there?
It could be, especially Tullasil, of course, which is a landfill site, so a lot of the ground is made from litter. So if people dropped less, there would probably be less fires.
Definitely. And it really impinges on the fire service so much. Now, all this brings me on to a project which I know is very dear to Stephen Shaw, and that's Clean Up Aberdeen. And he's already had people going out onto various sites cleaning up, and I know you and Jen have been cleaning up on the various sites. Where have you been? I think the Deeside Line, among other places.
Yeah, definitely Deeside Line. And where was it we were the other week, Jen?
Hilton Woods is always a bit of a hot spot for litter. We've been picking up several bags there. There was also, I know Stephen's planning to do another of these events again this year.
Glitter Pick.
The Glitter Pick, yes. And also the Litter Pick from the river onto the banks. They were in partnership with Adventure Aberdeen, and they got, I think it was kayaks or canoes, and people were litter picking from the boats, which unfortunately I missed last year, so I'm going to have to make
sure. Sounds like good fun, actually.
Exactly, yeah, I definitely want to go on that one this year.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind going on that one as well, but we did a bit of, shall we say, cleaning out of a drainage ditch up at East Tullis Burn on this week, because there was a real danger that the Tullis Burn might be flooding.
Because of the blocked outflow, yes. But it's clear now. It didn't take us long.
No, it didn't take us long at all. We have already mentioned school groups and going in and talking about fires, but schools have us in quite a lot to talk about and do various things. And I know recently you went in and did a mini indoor mini beast hunt. How did that go?
Yes, that went very well. We actually ended up doing this indoor mini beast hunt from all the way through from nursery classes up to primary seven. And an indoor mini beast hunt is not, as my mum thought, looking under school chairs and tables for spiders. The rangers, we actually brought in some leaf litter from nearby Kinkworth Hill for the kids to have a rake through and see what kind of beasties they could find.
And so this was at Kirkhill Primary
School. This was at Kirkhill Primary School, yes. It was actually their health week this week. Sort of overall aim of the week was to learn about Kinkworth Hill and what they can do to help the hill. We were due to go for some walks up the hill with some of the older children, but unfortunately the torrential rain and gale force winds stopped that. So we stayed inside instead and looked for mini beasts. But I think, well, we had good feedback from all classes. They all seemed to enjoy it, and all the classes found plenty of different mini beasts, including, I think, the most exciting thing was the shield bug that we found.
That's right.
It was very good.
So what other school visits have you been doing over the years, Simon? And which ones have really stood out for you?
Lots and lots and lots of school visits. You lose count, which is just as well we keep records in the office, because you just think on an average year, we must between us all go to a good few hundred schools to do lots of different nature-based and eco-activities with them. I think every time it's British Science Week, which used to be called National Science and Engineering Week, that's always good fun, because we always come up with a new activity every year for them. And I think the kids love it, because 2 years ago it was when one of the days in National Science Week coincided with the big solar eclipse. So that kind of impinged a little bit on the activity that we were running that year on that day in Glashyburn School, because the entire school went out to watch the sun disappear for about 20 minutes. But it was good. That was good science, and it's all natural as well.
And now this year, we're actually going to be doing it because it's an open theme for the Science Week, as it has been for a number of years. This year, we're going to be doing about ponds and about pond life in particular.
Yeah, that's right.
Taking up on a previous event that we did for the Science Week and taking like plastic containers in filled with little plastic things where the kids would actually hook up, and using little cane fishing rods with dangly bits of string, and it got a little bit interesting, really.
It was a great activity. The kids loved it. I remember taking that to Kingswells Primary School, and loads of their children went running forward with these little makeshift fishing rods that we'd cobbled together from canes and string, and it was a good laugh. But then, of course, all the bits of string got tangled up completely, and we could never untangle them ever again. so we wholesale ditched that entire activity. But now, this is what we're going to do this year for the British Science Week. So it'll be ponds and people, or people and ponds. I can't remember which way around it is. But it's a much more restrained and less chaotic and much more easily transported activity that we're doing in concert with a girl called Hannah, who's at Gray School of Art. and she's producing the components for us.
And we also have a fairly small budget for that. It's great because we can actually make up resources and take them into schools at a mm-hmm. later date.
Yeah, that's where we're going, straight after this interview, to go and see some of these little counters that Hannah's made. So they're all little MDF counters with things like dragonflies and freshwater beetles, that sort of thing. So they're already looking good from the samples that I've seen about a month ago. Mm-hmm. So no one else has seen them yet. So Jen's coming too and will hopefully be very impressed.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing them.
Yeah, now just for listeners to understand what's actually happening is these freshwater creatures have certain tolerances to pollution. So I think you're going to have one with a green surround and a mm-hmm. orange surround and a red surround. Is
that's
that
right?
Yeah. And obviously the green surround can be in really clean water. Orange surround is kind of that grey area where varying degrees of pollution, and red is just, really polluted water.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. So what sort of things would you find in really clean water, for example, just to give people an idea?
Well, straight away I think of things like mayfly nymphs that love clean water, and usually any bit of pollution that's in the water, they can't survive it. So that's my favourite things, the creatures that live in completely clean water.
Definitely. And of course, mayflies actually have this, I think it's the gills on each side of the body, so they can actually breathe. And then there's also stonefly larvae that they're quite fairly clean water living, mm-hmm. aren't they? And there's a damselfly larvae as well.
Yeah, that's right. Frogs and toads, they like clean water too.
What's your freshwater creature then, Jen?
Well, you get certain kinds of pond snails that really like fresh, clean water. They're pond snails that have gills also. But then just to make things more confusing, there's other kinds of pond snails that don't have gills that don't mind so much about the levels of pollution. Although it's maybe not the prettiest creature, but one of my favourite ones that lives in the red polluted water is the rat-tailed maggot. I remember that name from primary school and it stuck with me my whole life because it sounds so horrible.
It reminds me of something I saw on the television last night, which was a specimen of a hagfish, which produces lots of slime when it's caught by a fish and makes it so horribly inedible.
Yeah.
And it looks disgusting as well.
Well, we won't be catching any of those in any pond, did
we? No.
I don't think so. Maybe some lampreys if we were in a river.
Well, if we were lucky, yeah.
In a river, yes.
Yeah.
Some of these animals, I think one of my favourites is the caddisfly larvae, which produces its own little nest of sticks and builds it around itself, or if it's stones, it's in a river to stop itself from being washed away, and that's good. And then you get the little dippers that go in after them as well.
That's right.
This is fantastic. So there's some wonderful things that you find. Now, you were commenting just before this interview, have you been noticing some of the wildflowers coming up?
Oh yes, it seems like spring is starting to appear in Aberdeen. Just today we noticed that some snowdrops are well and truly flowering now, and there's plenty of other bulbs coming up that are not in flower yet, but give it a few weeks and I think we'll have a few daffodils around the place as well. And of course the birds are singing. Was mm-hmm. it a song thrush, a missile thrush that you recorded earlier this week, Rob?
Yeah, we might even let the listeners hear that.
Oh, fantastic.
Nice.
Yeah, I think we ought to let the listeners hear that. And now, hopefully tomorrow, we don't know, but we might actually have an event, or we might not. It all depends mm-hmm. on the weather. But what are the rangers going to be doing, and what are we going to be getting the volunteers to do? And then I'll get you talking about the other events.
So tomorrow the rangers are holding an event at Scotstoun Moor Local Nature Reserve in the north of the city, and it's a conservation day. We've got I think about 10 or 12 volunteers booked on to come along with us, and we're going to be cutting back the gorse bushes that are growing invasively really all over Scotstoun Moor. And if the weather allows us, we'll be burning all of these cut bits of gorse in a bonfire and hopefully having some baked potatoes at lunchtime, which would be very nice. Although the forecast is a little bit windy and rainy at the moment, we're hoping it should lessen by tomorrow. So it should be a really good day. We've had plenty of previous events with volunteers helping us out up at the Nature Reserve. And slowly we're working away, clearing quite large areas, of course, now to help more of the native plants, like heather in some places and sort of reeds and rushes and more of the wetland areas come through.
Excellent. Now, Scutzenmore is only one of the local nature reserves. So, Simon, could you tell us about some of the other local nature reserves? I mentioned already King Korth, but why are they local nature reserves? What makes them special?
There's lots of different reasons, I think. They're all really well used by members of the public who exercise there or take dogs walking there or just walk because they're lovely places. And they're all very different because, as we said, we've got King Korth Hill Local Nature Reserve, Scotstonmore, where you and Joe will be tomorrow. And we've got, of course, Den of Maiden Craig, which I like because it's small, but it has loads and loads of different habitats in it. And you can take school groups there and they can go down to the little stream. They can be in a bit of hazel woodland. They can be in grasslands. There's a bit of open woodland, and there's loads there. And of course, we have, did I mention Donmouth, or is that the one I've left out?
Awesome. Yeah.
Donmouth Local Nature Reserve, which is Range Duncan's favourite, I think, because it's by the sea and has loads and loads of wading birds and seals and otters and kingfishers. So all four of the local nature reserves are really different, and they're all four really special different places.
Mm-hmm. Now, out of all of them, which is yours, Jen, your favourite?
Well, my favourite has to be King Korth Hill.
Yeah, well, you kind of live in the area.
It is my local nature reserve, yeah, so I've got a bit of a soft spot for it. But again, King Korth Hill, like Simon says, it has got quite a wide variety of habitats to it. There's some nice Scots pine woodland. There are obviously areas of gorse. There's some heathery bits. There's a wee pond with newts in that we have kids doing pond dipping and things, so... Yeah, King Korth
is
definitely my favourite.
Yeah. It's cool. I have to say I like Scotston. that's got to be my favourite. And also because it's got the wetland bit in it as well.
Yeah.
And I get to do that and look at the newts when they come up.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been doing quite a bit of work in there and getting the volunteers to do that too. So really pleased with that.
Oh, well, and we've got one nature reserve per ranger.
I think so, yes.
That's quite good.
If we each go and support one local nature reserve, doing quite well. Anyway, I've talked to Duncan a little bit about some of the sites, and that some of the sites might, because we're having a review, might get left off.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the sites, extra sites, might get taken on. So
that's right.
Listeners have already heard about that particular thing. Now, coming on to our other events, what's going on this month? And I think you're going to be talking about something about that as well, Simon.
Yep. Shall I say about some of the events?
Yeah, and then we'll do it between you.
Yeah. So tomorrow, of course, you and Jen have got the event at Scotstonmore, which Jen has already said about.
Mm-hmm.
But then on Monday the 13th of February is this awesome new event, which is Ranger Duncan's idea that Jen's helping with,
mm-hmm.
which is called Nest Builders. And it's at the Spittle Pocket Gardens from 12 o'clock till 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And it's a Monday, so anyone can go. It's still in the school holidays, I think. In fact, am I talking total rubbish? Yes, I am.
No, it is actually... It's scheduled on a bank holiday or a school holiday Monday
The February weekend,
that's
of course.
The one. So the kids are off.
So, no, you're not talking complete rubbish.
No.
Not as usual. But I'll read out what it says in the events booklet, because it's a good description that we've come up with. Through the year, the rangers collect lots of scraps of wood left over from projects. Come and join them and the recycling team to help us turn this into bird boxes, feeders or other habitats which you can take home and hang in time for the nesting season. Why not challenge the rangers? Which, of course, we're going to love that challenge. Bring along your broken bird boxes and feeders, old bits of wood, garden canes, small logs, plant pots, and any other items you think we could repurpose and see if they can turn it into a spectacular wildlife attraction for your garden. So I'm not going to be at that one because I've got that day off. But it'll be great, I think. Everyone's fingers are crossed that the weather will be good for that event, because it's an outdoors event and people have booked into various time slots to hopefully bring along their old bits of wood, whatever materials that Duncan and Jen can recobble into something really cool for nature.
That should be really good. I look forward to hearing how they get on. And of course, pictures from that should be available on the Aberdeen City Council Ranger Service Facebook page.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Amongst other places, so you'll get to see some pictures from that. Now, there are other things going on. Jen?
Yes, so later on in February, we've got an event called Woodland Tales of Seton Park, which should be a lovely afternoon. It's a family-friendly event. I believe Ranger Duncan is holding the event, and it's on Saturday the 18th of February from 2 till 4 in the afternoon. And it's it should be so it's a family-friendly event using natural materials as props. Families will be able to engage more with the natural woodland environment and find out about the animals that live there through story and drama. So I'm not sure what Duncan's got planned. I assume he'll send the children on a bit of a scavenger hunt to see what they can find, and they can create some interesting stories about the creatures that live in Seaton Park.
It does work, you know. It works very well.
That's because you've done all the other woodland tales. Yeah.
And there's the only reason I'm not doing that is because I'm otherwise involved in a concert. So,
that's right, yeah.
Yeah. So Ranger Duncan has kindly said he would do that, and then I'll be on the following week with you.
To be at Effective Elric Efforts.
Yes, which is your event.
Yes, it's one of mine. I've taken that on board, Elric Hill, because it used to be a big portion of it covered, of course, in rhododendron and invasive laurels, which have spread from the Mansion House. It's quite on the border of Elric Hill. And for years and years and years, we've all gone out with volunteer groups or just ourselves to cut back this rhododendron and all the laurel bushes and try and get rid of them, because they just make the ground completely uninhabitable for native flora and fauna. So now we're getting there. We've cut back lots and lots of it, and you and I have been out there with the chemical sprays, the glyphosate sprays we're both allowed to use, and we've stopped a lot of it regrowing. So we're getting close to getting the rhododendron off a really, really nice bit of heather moorland with sort of birch and rowan woodland. So this effective Elric Efforts, good tongue twister. I wish I had not made up all these alliterative event names. Is on Saturday the 25th of February from 10 till 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. And basically, you have to meet us, if you can, at the second car park on the left when you leave the A96 on the road sign posted for Tyrebagger Forest. Elric Hill does have its own little car park, but as everyone who's been there knows, it's down an awful pothole track that I would not wish on anybody who's just coming to help us out on a volunteer event. So we use the Tyrebagger Hill car park anyway, and then walk into the work site from there. But we'll be cutting back some more of the rhododendron and laurels, maybe some gorse as well, and having just a bit of a monitoring of where's the rhododendron regrowing from. So there'll be some cutting, some sawing, some lopping with our loppers and secateurs, and maybe a bit of actually just looking around to see what is growing.
Yeah, because it's good to see that some of the heath vegetables and such like have been coming in. And
there's lots of plants that should be there that are now coming back. Yeah. It's really nice to see.
Even at Scotston, the other day when we were doing our event, we noted that there were really good signs that
the little heathers
were coming
yeah.
in where the gorse had once been. So it'll be Muggins and Simon, I expect he'll be out there with sprays to control that.
Yes, probably. But that's what you need to do.
Yeah. Okay, anything else that needs to be mentioned event-wise?
Well, we've got up to the end of February, so I can talk about what we've got in March if you want.
A little bit into March, and then we'll just do one event into March, because we're noticing we're almost coming on to the end of our recording time.
Okay, well, the first event that we have in March is another family event called Dens in the Den, and this is at Den of Maiden Craig Local Nature Reserve on Saturday the 11th of March from 2 till 4 p.m. in the afternoon. And it should be a fun afternoon of shelter building, obviously in the local nature reserve, using natural materials, so fallen branches that you find around the place, and maybe you could even create some natural art to decorate your shelters. And I believe there will be storm kettles on hand to provide hot water for tea and coffee and maybe even a hot chocolate as well.
Storm kettles, Simon, how does that work for listeners?
They're awesome. It's basically you light a little fire in a tray and then put a hollow cylinder on top, which acts as a chimney but also has a little jacket of water around that chimney. So the air is sucked up through the tray where you've got a little fire going and it boils the water around it.
It's ace. And you just put sticks in, you see flames coming up the top. Well, I suppose he could even really toast marshmallows if it got that high. Have you ever tried doing that?
Actually, no. No, never tried doing
marshmallows.
Would
that be safe enough to do?
I think you'd have to get the Kelly Kettle fire going really, really well to actually be able to toast marshmallows on it. They're just not quite big enough usually.
But anyway, excellent. Simon and Jen, can I thank you very much for coming in? Will you come in again to tell us more about what's going on
another
month or so?
Definitely.
Okay, thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And to round off our environmental theme for this week, two things. First of all, to give you the information that was related during the chat with Duncan, and that was the email countrysideranger@aberdeencity.gov.uk. Do look out for Aberdeen City Council Countryside Ranger Service on Facebook, and if you need to get in contact by phone, it's 01224 326 429. Now, there may not be staff in the office all the time, but you can leave a message and I'll get back to you. Now, the other thing I said we were going to do was to listen to the recording of the song thrush. There'll be a little bit of background wind as well. Enjoy. And then we've got the what's-ons and a few other notices as well.
Hi, my